Tonight, President Obama addresses the nation from the Oval Office. The speech comes after his fourth visit to the Gulf Coast. He appeared today at a naval air station in Pensacola, Florida.
Yes, this is an unprecedented environmental disaster. It's the worst in our nation's history. But we're going to continue to meet it with an unprecedented federal response and recovery effort, the largest in our nation's history. This is an assault on our shores, and we're going to fight back with everything that we've got.
The president said, "We will do whatever it takes for as long as it takes." He also hopes to repair the political damage. A new poll shows most Americans disapprove of his handling of this crisis. So what do you want to hear from the president tonight? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation at our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. And Walter Shapiro joins us here in Studio 3A. He's a senior correspondent at Politics Daily and a former White House speechwriter himself. Well, nice to have you with us today.
Oh, a pleasure, Neil.
And how's this for a quote that might be used tonight? What you see here too often in Washington is a system of government that seems incapable of action. You see a Congress twisted and pulled in every direction by hundreds of well-financed and powerful special interests. You see every extreme position defended to the last vote, almost to the last breath, by one unyielding group or another.
And that was said on July 15th, 1979, by President Jimmy Carter. And this was a president who had never seen Fox News.
This was also in one of the most ridiculed presidential speeches in history.
Yes, it was Jimmy Carter's, now known as the Malaise speech, even though Jimmy Carter never used the word in the speech. And actually, the recoil, the political recoil, was over his second step of firing the cabinet. But I don't want to get too bogged down in 1970s history. What was really important about that speech, and I'm going to quote this from memory, Jimmy Carter posed this question to the American people. Why have we failed to come together as a nation to solve our energy problem? That was relevant in 1979, an era of gas lines and OPEC boycotts. And it is even more relevant tonight as the Gulf of Mexico is befouled by the worst oil spill in American history.
And Walter Shapiro was a speechwriter for President Carter, though he noted in his speech that that he did not write that particular speech.
No, even though I did write several follow-up speeches off of the Malaise speech.
And you also noted that the Oval Office, this will be the first time President Obama has used this backdrop for a presidential address. This is a special occasion.
This is, because this is the most formal setting in a president's rhetorical arsenal. It was really surprising to me in addressing the economic crisis in his first weeks as president. President Obama chose to do three primetime news conferences rather than speak from the Oval Office. And in selling his health care plan to the American people, he chose to go before the United States Congress rather than speak from the Oval Office. But the Oval Office is the place where presidents speak in times of crisis. I'm old enough to remember Jack Kennedy talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis from the Oval Office. And most Americans remember George W. Bush giving an Oval Office address in the horrible days following 9/11.
So therefore, an occasion that must be used very sparingly.
Both sparingly and used well, because there are so many props presidents like to use to sort of deflect attention. A speech to Congress, you get caught up in the partisan choreographed cheering sections, who stands, who doesn't, and even who yells, who lie, you lie. A speech, a White House press conference, an East Room primetime press conference, it is the president versus the most hapless set of foils, the White House press corps. But in the Oval Office, the president has no one except the ghosts of the prior occupants of the office and that massive desk.
Yet, as you suggest, this is a crisis. This is certainly an occasion that is worthy of an address from the Oval Office. But this is not the first time the president has addressed this issue. He had a news conference just the other day.
Of course, this is probably going to be, for most Americans looking back on this period, both in memory and as voting behavior, what President Obama says tonight is what they are apt to remember about his response to the crisis. The fact is that most Americans, despite the TV interviews, despite the photo ops, despite the visits to Pensacola, mostly have just seen fragmentary comments from the president. But this will really be the first, for most voters, the first sustained comment from the president on the crisis that is besmirching the Gulf.
Here's an email we have from Juliana in University Heights, Ohio. Our president needs not to let the American public off the hook. We love our cars, we love cheap gas, and this is where it gets us. He needs to say that. Enough with cash for clunkers, double the gas tax, use stimulus money to bring mass transit fares down to a dollar or maybe even 50 cents a ride.
I have a lot of sympathy for that email because these were back in the 1970s, the real crisis was imported oil and the control that OPEC had over our foreign policy.
Do you remember the gas lines?
The gas lines.
Alternate days, depending on...
Oh, yes, depending on your license plate number, lining up. And what this meant, America has had 30 years to enforce really rigorous fuel efficiency standards in automobiles. 30 years to really press for a massive expansion in mass transit, and 30 years to come up with solutions other than drill, baby, drill. And we have failed, and we are paying one of the prices for it right now. It is also, I think, when the history of the Iraq war is written, certainly if Iraq was a country without oil, Saddam Hussein probably would still be in power.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. Nellie's calling from Stowe in Ohio.
Thank you. I'd like to hear Obama say that he's going to take over the operation from BP, that the U.S. Coast Guard and military will supervise it, that he will nationalize the oil, and I'd like him to refrain from saying that we should eat seafood, which, like any other cadaver, has liver flukes and worms and colon bacteria and radiation from nuclear waste and brain-destroying heavy metals and on and on.
Given the stress of those who harvest that seafood and process it and sell it, I suspect you're not going to hear that last part.
Well, they can be given subsidies to change their occupations.
Okay, Nellie, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Well, I think part of the speech is going to be about, sadly, subsidies to change their occupation in the sense that for many oystermen, for many shrimp boat owners, these are going to be devastating months ahead. And one of the issues in the speech is getting BP to establish an escrow fund to reimburse people who have lost their livelihood. What I'm concerned with is the actual finances of how the people who are taking this horrible economic hit will get reimbursed should not dominate the speech, because this is such an important moment. Arguing over whether BP should put $28 billion in escrow fund or $18 billion is a dispute sort of beneath the majesty of an Oval Office address.
Let's go next to Stephanie. Stephanie with us from Villisca in Iowa. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I love your show.
Thank you.
I want to know from the president where he gets his figures. Yesterday, you had on some excerpts, and he was throwing out numbers of the number of people that were working on the cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
We have this many people cleaning up on the spill and stuff. And yesterday, you had a guest who said that she got numbers from the Coast Guard.
And the Coast Guard had gotten them from the BP.
BP, exactly. And I have just a horrid feeling that our president is quoting BP figures and not even realizing it. I think the United States should have, the government itself should be compiling its own numbers, finding out what's going on, enforcing the fact that newspaper people and photographers should be able to have access to the places that BP is apparently not letting them into. And they shouldn't be allowed to run the show as much as they obviously are.
And that's an issue a lot of people have brought up.
Oh, clearly, one of the big mistakes the Obama administration made in the early days after the oil spill is to place too much faith in BP and too much faith in their both assurances that help is on the way and too much faith in their mistaken downgrading of the size of the flow. But the other issue, and it's a hard one, is the fact that it isn't numbers. It is really, even if the gusher stopped today, it is how do we clean this mess up?
Mm-hmm.
And I worry a little when Barack Obama said yesterday, and I'm paraphrasing, that oil on the beaches is the least of our problems because it's the easiest to clean up. When tarry beaches are good news, we really know the magnitude of the problem.
Stephanie, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And
I'm
glad you enjoy the program. Finally, this email from Sam in Tallahassee. I want to hear the six-month moratorium on offshore oil drilling will become permanent. I also want to see President Obama use this as a golden opportunity to push alternate forms of energy, solar, wind, making electric cars feasible for all of us to use and own.
Well, I think clearly if the Obama administration was going to do a do-over on 2010, the idea of unveiling the Obama plan for modified offshore drilling, but considerable offshore drilling, a month before the BP oil spill may not have been one of the most astutely timed events in the history of this administration.
I suspect you're right on that. Nevertheless, he may not be able to suspend that moratorium on drilling either. We still depend on oil to drive our cars, run our economy.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem we're facing, that by not taking steps over the last 30 years, we have very few short-term options unless in the middle of a terrible economic downturn, we suddenly want to have $6 a gallon gas afflicting the same people who are hard-pressed to make ends meet as it is. So this is really a horrible moment, but I hope the president figures out a way to put this in a larger context.
We'll all be watching as the president addresses the nation from the Oval Office. 8 p.m. Eastern time tonight. Walter Shapiro, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Neil.
Walter Shapiro, senior correspondent at Politics Daily, with us here in Studio 3A. You're listening to Talk of the Nation, coming to you from NPR News.